Amena uja na muka tuyo. Avina muja tu mano choyo. Avina muja nuyago. Everything else can wait. Give me your all. I hope I'm not too late. Oh, give me your all. Everything else can go away. Oh, give me your all. I hope I'm not too late. Macho na moyo diano.
Here I am. Kiaradia esuna.
Come on, lift up your voices. Oh, yeah. you can join me.
every no matter the roughness of the road, I must go. I must go.
This is for all the other in the house.
I must go with Jesus anywhere.
Hey,
no matter the roughness of the road, I must go.
Come on, sing it out.
I must go with Jesus anywhere.
I'll follow.
may come my how fast.
There's this song that is dropping in my spirit. The song of our Father.
No matter.
The song of Apostle Efa. I can't just leave the song like that.
Anamani anamakabenadidone. To the water side we'll go, if it leads me to you. To the fire I will go, if the wind is to you. There's no other life for me, I'm committed to you.
Hey,
this is all there is for me.
Come, let's sing it.
Through the waters I will go.
If it leads me to you, through the fire I will go.
If the way leads to you, Lord, there's no other life for me. I'm committed to you. This is all there is for me. I'm addicted to you.
Celebrating Jesus to the degree at which you have seen his faithfulness. He has helped you through the month of February, having brought you into the year 2024. And we give Jesus a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Good evening. Again, welcome each and every one of you. We pray that God, whom has brought each and every one of us together before him tonight, will not leave us empty-handed in the name of Jesus. I am so persuaded that tonight God is going to be doing a quick walk in and through the life of his people. That word for rest, that word for settlement is coming for somebody here tonight in the name of Jesus. If you are that person, your amen is going to be the loudest. Hallelujah. And how do I know such? Because the Bible says where two or three are gathered in his presence, he is in their midst. We are more than two tonight, we are more than three. It tells of how sufficient his presence is here in our presence, in our midst tonight, and we pray that God is going to touch, transform every life here in the name of Jesus. Quickly, Obadiah 1:17. Obadiah 1:17. It says, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. Upon this holy mountain there shall be deliverance. I don't know what has buffeted you. I don't know what has followed you before today at followed you into tonight's service, God is giving you deliverance. There shall be holiness. There shall be turnaround in and through your life tonight in the name of Jesus. And you will as well possess your possessions in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's testimony time. Please, we have a brother, Brother Moses, is coming to appreciate God for his faithfulness. Let's do well to celebrate him even as he makes his way forward to share with the larger house what the Lord has done for him. Brother Moses, if those hands are for Jesus and you're also trusting God for your own testimony, you will celebrate Jesus bigger, bigger, bigger and faster. Let's keep doing that even as he makes his way forward for Jesus, not for any man, but for Jesus, the doer of all of this testimony. Let's keep clapping. Hallelujah. You please confirm your name and straight to the point what God has done for you.
My name is Ali Moses Aminu. I'm here to give thanks to God for all he has done for me. Last year, before I started my jam, I told God something. I said, I want to write jam once, and I'm not coming back again. Once I go, once I come back. And I registered for the jam. And when I started for it, everything was fine. As of then, jam cutoff mark was 170, while school is 190. And that night, I checked mine. What I scored was 176. And I was like, 176? Where will I get admitted into university? And that night, I could not pray. I just shifted my Bible one side because I was, and I heard a voice. It says, Moses, but I'm not true. But I'm not true. So after some weeks, jam release got off mark for the year 2024. And they released it down to 140 while I was having 176. I says, wow, indeed God is not true. So after some months, school released their cutoff mark also. And theirs was 160. I said, God is indeed wonderful. God is not true. So after some months, they started giving out admission. I met Sir Austin and he told me, my name is there, that I should just go and register for jam, but my name is out. And I was like, okay. So after some months, first lift came out, my name was not there. And I still heard this voice, my name is out, by Sir Austin. And on Thursday, I was expecting some money to go for jam registration. And the money came. It came on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I was good for it on Sunday, that is jam registration. And I heard a voice, it says, you don't have money to waste. And I piped that. I called my mom that I will not be able to go for jam registration again. And she called me on Sunday that there's a scholarship for jam on Monday, this morning that passed at Bernawa, that I'm to just pay 1,000 naira. And this boy repeated again, he says, you don't have money to waste. I was just waiting on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday. A friend of mine called me that I should log in my JAM portal. And I logged in. JAM gave me admission at Usman Danfodio University. And I just give thanks to God for all that he's done. Thank you.
If those hands are for Jesus and Akazo, we'll do them even better and bigger for Jesus. You are here tonight trusting God for him coming through for you. We pray that God will direct and meet you at the point of your need tonight in the name of Jesus. And for as many that are trusting God for admission, we pray that even as the portal is already open, that many will continue to come to testify of God's goodness in that dimension in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we again celebrate Jesus for that testimony? We have a written testimony. It's coming from a dear sister, Sister Eunice. Sister Eunice is thanking the God of heaven for financial breakthrough. There was this outstanding that she needs to settle in her school. God came through for her, and overseas within this period, for challenges of addiction she has been having before now, she keeps seeing how God continues to renew her mind daily. And she is not taking any of this for granted, as she has written to appreciate God for his faithfulness upon and over her life. Again, and Akazo, as many who are here, we pray that God will meet us, bless us, transform us tonight in the name of Jesus. Let's celebrate Jesus, celebrate God's servants, even as she comes up to take us further.
Hallelujah, and Akazo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us celebrate Jesus. honor to bring to you the vision declaration of this mission. Calvary greetings. I am delighted to introduce you to Anakazo Mission International, an inclusive non-denominational ministry based in Kaduna State. Our community is built around three essential missions, all of which are dedicated to fostering spiritual growth and strengthening the bonds of our unity in the faith. First, we are committed to nurturing individuals into becoming spiritual watchmen, saviors, and deliverers of their families and territories, drawing on Obadiah 1 verse 21 that says, "A savior shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's." To accomplish this, we have established various apostolic centers designed to enlighten believers about their divine ordination and the imperative to manifest God's glory. Second, we aim to bring speed and settlement to God's people, drawing on Isaiah 60 verse 22. "A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a great nation. I, the Lord, will hasten to perform it." We deliver systematic teachings of God's word, illuminating its hidden wisdom to foster spiritual advancement and personal growth for our precious saints. Third, we stand firm against the spirit of confusion and their territorial influences, drawing on Zechariah 1, 20 and 21. "And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Then said I, what come these to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns that scattered Judah, that no man did lift his head, but these carpenters are come to free them." We uphold the doctrines of the early apostles and advocate sound biblical teachings, thus providing a fortification against falsehood and deceptive teachings. Our community gathers every Sunday at 5 p.m. for revival and encounter services at TMC Event Center, located at number 5 Garba Abbas Banawa GRA. We also meet at 4849 Chirama Street Television every Tuesday for healing and communion services. We warmly invite you to join us as we worship, learn, and grow together in the spirit and unity of faith. To everyone joining us for the first time, online and on-site, you are warmly welcome to Anakazo Mission International. Let us journey together in spirit and in truth. Thank you.
Hallelujah. If you're happy to be in God's presence this evening, give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. God is set to do something great in your life. God is set to shift you to your next level. God is set to decorate your destiny with what it needs. Wherever you are, bow your head and prostrate to the Lord. I'm here in your presence. Don't pass me by. I am here before you, Lord, tonight. Don't pass me by. Lord Jesus, multi-breasted one, God of all flesh. The seal of the age to come is bringing everything in obedience to Christ. Is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Living God, the Calabasas. Is the Holy the scepter of the King of Kings. Is the Holy Ghost the seal of the age to come? Is bringing everything in your life in obedience. Is bringing everything, bringing
Elibas Kavarosh Kaba Inamantis Keveta Ruan Tapaiko Skini Marana Sevela Tamo Shalini Baratane Davikola San. Oh, he's bringing everything tonight in obedience to Christ. He's changing everything. Takabahaya Salida Babrante Keveruda Barataba. He's changing everything. Lord, I know where I am and I'm in your presence. Don't let me go back the same. Can you just pray that prayer wherever you are? Lord, don't let me go back the same. This is a mountain of encounters. It's a mountain of transformation. It's a mountain of transformation. My life cannot remain like this. I have come before the God of heaven. I am not like Jacob. I don't know where I am. I am before the ambience of God's glory. I am before the great monarch of Zion. I am before the God that can change my life. I am before my Creator. Oh, Makatembras Kabarusha Kabambreketaya. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. This is the mountain of transformation. And one of the things that the Lord wants to do in our life this evening is to cause that our life be transformed. None of us here came into this world with our best fashion. Everyone came in here so crude that you need the power and the glory of God to walk upon your life before you can be able to manifest and enter into the fullness of your ordination. God is said to transform us. Transformation is evolving, changing, time after time. A little here, a little there, until you can become that thing that was ordained by God before time was. And God has ordained and God has orchestrated your feet to be here so that he can walk the walk of transformation. Because the product of every encounter is such that the man's life can be transformed. Because you can become that thing that God wants you to become when you are transformed. So tonight, I'd like us to open our heart to God and say, Lord, as I am in your presence, let there be transformation. I know that there is so much about my destiny. I know this is not my real identity. I know this is not a real state that you have ordained me to walk in. And so, Lord, tonight I will press until I am transformed. None of us came in here with our best fashion. So God needs to work on us. God needs to work upon us so that the thing that he has set inside of us can begin to find expression. So the Bible speaking in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. He said, we all with open face, beholding like in a glass the glory of the Lord. He said, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. One of the first principles of transformation is beholding. Because as you behold, you are transformed. Anything you fix your eyes on to keep beholding, you are becoming that thing. So tonight, as you are before God, I want you to fix your eyes on Jesus. Because he has the template of your destiny. And as you look upon him, as you see him the way he is, then you are transformed to become like him. The world that we are in is corrupt, full of darkness. There are many challenges happening everywhere. A time has to come that you will shift your focus away from the challenges and look up to Jesus. Child of God, a time came that Peter was about to drown in the river. And he stretched forth his hand and said, Master, help me. He was looking up to Jesus, and that was how he was saved. Looking up to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. The challenges that have bedeviled our world today cannot be overcome by looking at the challenges. You must shift your focus away from those challenges and fix your eyes on Jesus. Because he has a real template. He can change the narrative. So if you look unto Jesus, then your answer can come. If you look unto him, then your change can come. Child of God, the first principle of transformation is beholding. It was Jacob in the book of Genesis, chapter 30, verse 31, all the way to 42, that first of all brought the order of this template. Because when we are transformed, our goal is not just to become our best version, our goal is to assume the image of Christ. because Christ is our template. As we see him, we become like him. So your real order of template upon the earth should be that you are growing and you are becoming more like the Christus himself. This is the order through which God has set the life of every believer. Hallelujah. And so Jacob, in the book of Genesis 30, verse 31, a time came that Laban, they were agreeing the order of his inheritance. How will my wage be? Because I have served you for so long. And the agreement was that any of the cattle that were speckled, any of the cattle that were wrinkled, any of the cattle that were brown in color, they were the inheritance of Jacob. Are we together? That was the agreement that was made between Jacob and his uncle Laban. But the uncle decided to cheat Jacob. But he didn't know there was another intelligence by the Holy Ghost that was working in the mind of Jacob. And Jacob was the first man that brought about genetic modification. Because people say that where the cattle went to drink, the same place, there was no way Jacob could alter their DNA, because the uncle had already separated the speckled cows. He had separated them and gave his own servant to take them away. So if you look at the head of cattle, you wouldn't see a speckled cattle there. But Jacob did not look at that. He went into the womb of the spirit and he was given an intelligence by God. And what Jacob did, the Bible says that before the place where the cattle would drink, before the place where they will reproduce, he made an order of what he wanted to produce. He made speckled tree and placed it before them. Only thing that they needed to do was that they just needed to look at it. As they were looking at it over time, they began to produce the same speckled cow. Because as you behold, you are transformed. You cannot control it. It is a law in the realm of the spirit. It's a law. So they began to keep it, and Laban was surprised. How come? Because I have already separated it. But there is another intelligence at work in the life of Jacob. And they began to reproduce. And the Bible says, because of that, Jacob worked stronger. Jacob worked in wealth because he was able to understand the principle of transformation. Tonight, God wants to change your life. Tonight, God wants you to become better. God wants you to look like him. Because that challenge in your life, that challenge in your family, this version of you cannot handle it. That mountain before your destiny, this version of you cannot handle it. So you must become like Christ. So that when you come in the image and person of Christ, that mountain will give way. The Bible says the mountain that gives like ram before him. Because when you come as a Christ, every mountain is brought low. So as we behold him, we are transformed. So tonight, saints of God, what God wants you to do is that you look at him. You know, the word of God is Jesus himself. Because the Bible says in the book of John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So you cannot separate God from the word. Jesus is the word. So as the servant of God is coming this evening to minister the word, just look at the word. Fix your eyes on the word. Because as you fix your eyes on that word, you are becoming like that word. Tonight, don't spectate. Let it not be like an ordinary night for you. You must come with another mindset. You must come with that, because I have been calling for an account and nothing has changed yet. Lord, tonight do something. Do something to my life. Do something to my life. I want to be transformed. Grant an encounter. Tetetilia, Brandas Kabat, Shala Tiende Bir Karo Tabai. Wherever you are, can you pray? Lord, I want to be changed. I want to be transformed. Shatata Brenda Kepai. Are you praying at all, wherever you are? Lord, tonight, I want to be changed. I want to be transformed. As you behold him, you become now like him. As you behold him, you become like him. Can you pray? Shakate bra sobra natai. Entete pati kabarusa. Shayayayaya maradai. Embreskete brata kabelo sabanata. Shayayala makabadia. Make sure you are praying. Your encounter is here. Your encounter is here. And God wants your life to be transformed. Another principle of transformation is the principle of height. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 4 that when the devil wanted to tempt Jesus, he didn't tempt him on the earth. There was another layer of temptation that he had to carry Jesus to an exceeding high mountain. And on that mountain, Jesus could see all the riches of the earth. Everything upon the earth was seen at a glimpse because he was functioning from a plane in the spirit. So tonight, for you to see and behold that thing that God wants me to see, then you must mount up. You must mount up. You must come up hither. You must leave where you are and come into another pedestal. There's an address where this meeting is happening. And you must turn it here. You must turn it here. There is height. There is a mystery being height and sight. There is a mystery being height and sight. Can you pray? Lord, I mount up. I mount up.
www.facebook.com/anacostalmissioninternational.
Come on now, give the Lord a shout of praise. Tonight is a night of encounters. Tonight is a night of possibilities. Amen. You can have your glorious seat in God's presence. Hallelujah. It's offering time. Indeed, blessing time. I want you to package your offering wherever you are. Package your offering. And just in case you want to pay your tithe, there's an usher by you. Just signal them to receive the tithe envelope. Hallelujah. just before we cast our offerings, it is imperative for us to understand the reason why we give. Hallelujah. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have life everlasting. The reason why we give is because we love God. There's no way that you can explain to somebody that you love the person without giving. There's no way that you explain that you love somebody without living a life of sacrifice. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 5, Abraham took his only son, the one that he loved, and then he told the young men that followed him, he said, let us go upon the mountain, tarry here and wait for us, for I and the lad, we are going upon the mountain. And what he was going to do was to go and sacrifice the only son that was given to him. And in the eyes of Abraham, he called that sacrifice worship. When we come before God with our offerings, with our tokens, it is an act of worship unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And that is not all. The Bible speaking in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, it says, cast thy bread upon the waters. It says, thou shalt have it after many days. It says, give a portion to seven and then to eight, for you don't know what evil shall befall the earth. It says, but if the heaven be full of rain, it shall empty itself. Whenever you give to God, it's a principle that God has established. And every principle of God is to our advantage. There's no principle of God that is to the advantage of God. Every principle that God gives to us is to our advantage. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. Double measure, pressed down, shaking together, shall men give unto your bosom. With this understanding and with the offering in your hand, can you wave it and begin to speak over your offering and begin to declare the word of the Lord over your offering? Father, we thank you tonight. Out of the much that you have given unto us, we return with this little token. We appreciate you. We pray. We send it on an errand of multiplicity in the name of Jesus Christ. Go ahead and pray in the Spirit and ask the Lord to accept your offering. Father, we thank you for this offering tonight. We thank you for accepting this offering tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. You can go ahead and cast your offerings.
Hallelujah, Nakazo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. In the presence of God, there is liberty. So in that same vein, I want you to raise up your hands and begin to say something sweet to the Father. Can you enjoy the presence of the Holy Ghost tonight? He's here in our midst. He's here in our midst. Li cabrosa ta cabarando sieve le monde. E rabasulia ta cabarosia te cabarosa. E ramamosia te cabarosa ta cabarosia. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by
Identify me and encounter me in your presence. Don't let me return as I came.
Don't let me go back like this. Don't let me go back like this. Don't let me go back like this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Please, you can welcome the persons by your side and be gloriously seated in the house of God. Once again, it is a privilege to share fellowship with us. It is always a privilege to hear from the Lord. We have some very special persons in our midst. I just want to recognize the presence of God's choice vessel, an erudite minister of the gospel, God's servant, Apostle Kenny, is with us. Please, can we celebrate him? Thank you so much, sir. Thank you. Also with us is a mother, a woman the Lord has given to us. Come on, Anakazo, go ahead and celebrate. Our mother, Mommy Koti, is in the house. Thank you, ma. Thank you so much. Thank you. I think, you know, I can see my other brother also in the house. It's such a privilege to have you with us, sir. Please, can we celebrate you? Thank you so much. Amen. 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 Yeah. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Very quickly. Romans chapter 3. Verse 23. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. It's projected, so I want us to read together as loud as we can at the count of 2. 1, 2, go. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. The Bible says, "For all have sinned." Now, the word "sin" there is captured in the plural. Rather, in the past. It's captured in the past tense, meaning all have sinned. The idea is sin has been factored into us even before we were born. So it was from the Adamic fall that everybody was regulated by the nature of sin. So they put it as your past so that it's not about what you did. It's that before you even did something, sin has been engrafted into you. The reason for this particular detail is so that if you can embrace that you did not do anything and you are a sinner, you will also be able to embrace later that you did not do anything and you are righteous. Because being a sinner is not the function of action. You did not have to do anything before they engrafted sin into your nature. So, also, righteousness will not require works. It will be a gift of God. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what?" It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. Not too many people understand this side of the legalities of the kingdom. The reason behind these things I'm teaching us tonight is because a majority of Satan's attack is around thoughts, imaginations, and the very things that cross our hearts. There are many things God has for us, but we are not sure we deserve it. There are many things that are our own, but we don't think we are worthy of it. And so not even God can help a man that cannot see himself as what God sees him. The first thing we must embrace tonight is that righteousness, which is right standing before God, is a gift. as many as believe him, to them he gave a particular thing called power to become. Amen? You see, you cannot represent God, you cannot live out the nature of God, and not in any way be enabled by power. Because this Adamic fall, this Adamic nature, this human nature is limited in its possibilities. The only way people can look at you and say, you are a child of God. The Bible says the earnest expectation of creature. They are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. What makes people say you are a son of a particular person? There are traits. There are traits. There are genetic traits. There are behavioral traits that they can associate to you and that person. So you don't say, I am a child of God just by a bold proclamation. I am a child of God is a lifestyle. The things that are not impossible before God cannot be impossible before you. You see, this is what it meant in Psalm 82, where he says, ye are God. Why is he calling us God? He says, because all of you are children of the Most High God. The fact that your father is God, you are nothing short of a God. The scripture says it was written by them of old that the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the teeth of the children became sour on account of the actions of the fathers. He says, but no more would you hear that parable in Israel. He says, the soul that has seen it, it will die. So everybody will now bear the consequence of their own actions. But before they brought this particular scheme, they made sure that since we all fell inside Adam, every one of us also will be partakers of righteousness in Christ Jesus. So the reason why people go to hell is not because they are sinners. Because hell is not for sinners. Hell is for anybody that refused God's penalty for sin. Because it is because of sin that Jesus died. So that anybody, because all have sinned. So if all have sinned, it means our eternal destination of sinners would have been hellfire. But God has given us a gift. So that it is not sinners that go to hell. It is people who reject the sacrifice of God that go to hell. So hell is not for sinners. Hell is for everybody who rejects God's sacrifice. You know what it means to reject the sacrifice of God? It's to reject forgiveness. It's to reject the Holy Ghost. It's to reject the promises and the blessings that are the new creation realities. You can be living your life based on common sense, and what spirit see is that you have rejected the counsel of God. I'm taking this route tonight because in a moment from now we'll be praying. But I want to share some very cogent things with us. When God made man in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, we began to see that God in chapter 1 took out time to create the ecosystem where man would dwell. In chapter 2, God made sure it was ready, and then God formed man in chapter 2. In chapter 3, we found out that an adversary showed up, and the agenda of this adversary was something. And I want to show us an ancient narrative. God told man in Genesis chapter 2 verse 16. He says, of all the trees in the garden, you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you should not eat it. For the day that you eat it, you will surely die. An adversary showed up. And the only way they introduced him was in Genesis chapter 3 from verse 1. They just started to tell you the curriculum. They started to tell you the credentials of the serpent. They said the serpent was more subtle than every other creation. So they didn't start telling you what he was doing. They started telling you his capacities. They say among all the creations of God, he was the most subtle. And they said he entered into conversation with Eve. It will amaze you that throughout the account of the fall of man, Satan and Adam never met face to face. The only person Adam heard from was his wife. Satan and Adam did not meet. In fact, the person that gave the fruit to Adam was his wife. You see, Satan will wait until your heart is obsessed about something. There is nothing Satan has on you until you love something. This is why the counsel is love not the world. Your temptation is built around the area of your love. If you don't love anything, there is nothing to be tempted with. The Bible says the prince of this world cometh to Jesus and finds nothing. So there was no ground upon which a temptation can be instituted, because his affections were for things eternal. So when Satan is looking for something to use to camp around Jesus to establish a temptation, there was no room. This is why the eternal counsel is to set your affections on things above. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Listen, you will be surprised. A lot of us can be talking about heaven, but actually, a majority of our investment, a majority of all we care about, is earthbound. Where your treasure is. The moment I read this scripture, there's only something that echoes in my heart. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of my... Look at the admiration this guy had for the woman. Exactly that thing he is so fascinated by. That's exactly where his fall was orchestrated around. This is why the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and seek to be right with the demand of that kingdom. Then every other thing. God knows you need every other thing, but if you pursue every other thing, you are just time away from fall. Because anything you love in this world can occasion your fall. Let me show us the scripture. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things. So just in case scripture says love not the world, and you think maybe he's just talking about geography, territories, he says neither the things that are in the world. Because if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So your love for God and your love for the ordinance, the rudiments and the things of this world cannot cohabit. That's what scripture is saying. You are either totally obsessed about God or any other arrangement of... You know, there is something I hear recently, they call it balance. It's a balance. Balance. That, you know, you are not too spiritual like that, that you are not relevant in the world, that there's a balance. There's a way to... There's no balance! The only way is to be obsessed about God. Is that obsession that powers your conviction. In the day of temptation, you will gravitate towards where your heart desire is. It's not about what you said in your mouth. It's the state of your heart. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Look at what the next verse said. For all that is in the world. They summarize the total package of the world into three categories. For all that is in the world. Number one, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the what? Pride of life. These things are not of God. You know, when scripture make absolute statements like this, I'm quick to ask questions. What do you mean by all that is in this world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life? wake up, before you open your eye, there's already a detailed plan about several interactions at the course of that day that is designed to take you further and further away from the consciousness of God. First is the cares of life piling up, waiting for you. This is why people get up and the first thing is their phone, because before they even remember their creator. Meanwhile, it is because of God you woke up. But he is not your first experience, your first observation, your first interaction. When you wake up, you will know, in the scale of preference, you will know where God is in your life by what catches your attention first. I'm not talking about pretense to just wake up and say it has to be God first. I'm talking about what does your heart gravitate towards first. When you wake up, is your first meditation God or your bank account? Oh, that is in this world. The loss of the eyes, the loss of the flesh, and the pride of life. See, please follow me. I want to show you something. What was the temptation of Eve? Let me take point one to dwell on the temptation of man. In Genesis chapter 3, from verse 1 to 6, you will see the account of that temptation. The devil showed up to woman, not the man. The moment Adam loved Eve, Satan knows that anything that becomes of Eve will become of Adam. So he focused his attack on Eve. The moment Eve ate it, the Bible says she gave unto her husband with her. What did Eve fall for? Did you think Satan showed up like a serpent slithering on the ground? Meanwhile, it is the curse that was part of the punishment that followed the disobedience that reduced Satan into this form of going on his belly. Meanwhile, we are not talking about snake. In Revelations, you hear part of the way they describe Satan. They called him that old serpent. And part of his manifestation in the Revelation is the Bible call him a great red dragon. Revelation chapter 12. How can a funny looking spirit now show up and be talking with you? The serpent had a figure. The way if Jesus appears to you in the world of spirit, you are most likely not. In fact, let me give you Bible verses to confirm the things I'm saying. So it's not just the philosophy of men. The Bible was speaking concerning Jesus in his reincarnated form. The Bible spoke in Revelation chapter 4 from verse 1. It began to speak about Jesus in his exalted form. That the moment they began to share in Revelation 4 and 5, about the ordeal of creation, about how creation had fallen, about the setback that sin had brought to creation, the apostle began to look, and the Bible says he began to weep because there was no man. Because a mighty angel proclaimed with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to take the book and break the seals thereof?" And they say, "None was found in heaven, neither on earth, nor under the earth." And so John began to cry that there was no man. Immediately he started crying. An elder came and tapped him and said, "Behold, behold," means look, "the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed." So the elder said, "Look at the lion." The Bible says, John said, when he turned to look at the lion, lo and behold, he saw a lamb. So what an elder is seeing about Jesus is a lion. But what a man who was brought into that encounter saw was a lamb. It means every creature in the different hierarchies of spiritual operation, we don't all relate with God the same way. There are dimensions of God reserved only for man. God will only be a lamb, an object of sacrifice only for man, because salvation is only for man. This is why it was only John that looked at him and the image he saw was a lamb, not a lion. The elders are seeing a lion because for them it's about government, it's about orderliness, it's about legalities. But for a man, it's about mercy. So if you look for Jesus, you will see the elders calling him a lion. That is how when you try to investigate Satan in his form of manifestation, they called him a serpent. The word serpent there is not in this new age concept of a serpent. They were describing something that had capacity to walk before. And the walking there is not just to stand on your two limbs. What the Bible meant when it began to regulate the statements that will now bring the curse upon the parties that played the role for the fall of man, when it came to the serpent, he says, because you have done this, you are cursed above the cattle of the field. He says, you are cursed above the birds of the air. He says, on your belly shall thou go, and dust you will eat for the rest of your days. Everybody here knows, like I've always said, that snakes don't eat sand. So God was not telling the serpent that you will be eating sand till you die. The dust God was speaking about there was a nature. There is a type, a version of man that you capitalized on, that you used to bring him down. I limit you to only be able to interact with man using that part of him that was formed from the dust, the flesh. And so the day man is able to overcome the flesh, Satan has no power over him anymore, because he has been limited to only eat dust. Happens after occasioning the fall, he showed up to Eve and said, did God say you should not eat of any tree of the garden? So the question, why would Satan ask a general question? Because his first agenda is to catch your attention. He wants to get your attention and begin to strike conversations with you. I'm trying to show you the various gestation period of temptation. Before temptation becomes a suggestion, it is first an atmosphere. There's an atmosphere that must be entertained before that suggestion can find expression. There is an atmosphere that is a breeding ground for temptation. Some temptations will take 21 days to mature. And the day you finally committed the sin, your heart has fallen many weeks before that time. It is just that an opportunity will be created to give you the capacity to flesh out the state of your heart. It is as a man thinks in his heart. That is how he is. So the agenda of spirit is to pervert you from your heart first, so that if you are not doing what is in your heart, it's just a matter of time. When these conditions are right, you must comply with who you are in your heart. There are many proud people sitting here. The conditions are not right yet. You look humble now. Wait until the right amount enter your account. Your walking step will show that day. That's when you become so sensitive to respect. You will now say, Kai, you know all these people, they don't have respect. They don't greet people. How many people were living faithfully with one wife, just thanking God for his blessings and his faithfulness, until God multiplied their substance? Suddenly, capacities and tendencies and proclivities that were buried by lack, wealth activated it. You know, the title of my discourse tonight is A High Mountain. A High Mountain. I will tell you why and where it was coined from. I'm starting from the temptation of man so that I can build onto the temptation of Jesus. You will see that the top temptation of Jesus, the devil needed a location to institute that temptation. After tempting him to turn stones into bread, I don't want to run ahead of myself, I just want to give you a background for the topic. After taking him to the pinnacle of the temple and asking him to jump down, the top temptation, the devil taketh him to an exceeding high mountain. That's the title of my discourse. An exceeding high mountain, because there is a sight capacity that is ministered to a man the moment you are brought to that place. Look at what happened the moment Jesus came there. The Bible says, from there he showed him the glory of the world and the riches. It passed before the eye of Jesus in a minute. And then the moment you have seen it and your heart is regulated, a suggestion full. All these things. This one is for those who are making progress on the path of spiritual progress. Those who are making some headway. This is what is waiting for you. This is the last place you will cross. If you will find the celestial city, your feet too must pass through that exceeding high mountain. But before we go there, let's go back to the fall of man. Satan said, did God say you should not eat of every tree of the garden? Look at what Eve said. Meanwhile, it was not Eve that God told. God told Adam. And it was Adam's responsibility to communicate the totality of God's counsel to his significant other. Now, when between the lecture that God gave Adam versus the lecture that was transferred to Eve, something went wrong somewhere. Because the moment Eve was replying Satan, we found out that an addition has been added to the hallowed counsel of God. Eve said no. God did not say we should not eat of any tree. He says God said we can eat of any tree, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we should not eat or touch. And God did not say don't touch. God said don't eat. So when you begin to be creative, trying to make the word of God look more complicated, you have created a room for fall. It is in my opinion that the moment she added that touch part, Satan then walked near the tree and did like this. That part that you are the one that added is that part that is void of the life of God. So the fall started from the creativity. The moment it was obvious that you can touch and you will not die. Meanwhile, all these parties involved were speaking from the lens of their own reality. What God calls death is not what Satan understands as death, and it's not what man also understands as death. So everybody was speaking his own reality. Satan said, you shall not surely die. Because even the Satan himself is dead, but he does not know. Because he has lost favor with God. He thought he was still alive because he could still make motions. And he told Adam that, me, I'm speaking to you like this. My own, I have fraternized with these kinds of things. I am a proof that you will not die. Meanwhile, a dead man was speaking. Then Eve took up the tree. Before she took it, let me show you something. Let's pray for 1 minute wherever you are. Ask the Lord, give me power. Because he says, for as many as receive him, to them he gave power to become. You cannot live up to the expectations of God without the power of God, the enablement of God. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says, and the woman saw. The moment Satan was telling her, you will not die, the woman saw that the fruit was good for food. Please. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, comma, is that in your Bible? And that it was pleasant to the eye, comma. Did you see the commas? I know you will not answer. See, the comma there, I'll tell you what they were building. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. So the moment she beheld the tree, these were the feedback she got. This is what the tree ministered to her soul. One, that this thing will be very sweet if you eat it. Number two, that this thing is pleasant to the eyes. I mean, what kind of fruit is this? Galoshi, you know, there is a part of your fall that is centered around your sight capacity. What you allowed your eye to contemplate on. There is, when I'm done with the teaching, you will see how weak temptation is. So let's go back to the advice of John in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Remember what he said? He said, all that is in this world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So John summarized, he's an elder, summarized all the package of Satan in this world into three categories. Now, did you remember the commas that we saw in Genesis that I was showing us just now in Genesis chapter 3? What was the first statement before the comma? He says, it was good for food. Food for food there is the loss of what? Eh? Flesh. Good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes is the loss of what? Then a tree to be desired to make one wise is what? So inside that temptation, it's not one temptation. It's a summary of the total package. If there is any other way anything can tempt a man, they factored it into that one temptation. So in case you are not following what I'm saying, I'm telling you that Eve did not fall for one temptation. She fell for the full weight of any shape temptation can be. Inside that one temptation is the loss of the eyes, is the loss of the flesh, is the pride of life. All was finding expression in that one single temptation. Meanwhile, you can be sitting down here and saying, if not for Adam, I know where I would have been by now. Since you gave your life to Jesus, how many times did you disobey God? Adam is better than you. You know the number of times you say, I'm sorry, Lord, it was a mistake. If Adam sinned the way you are sinning now, all of us will be in hell first. So there is nothing like if only Adam. I've seen a lot of believers that said, Kai! Is this just apple that Adam cannot control? If we're not talking about apple. What did Eve fall for? She fell for the full weight of the program of this world. Meanwhile, you will see that there is nothing Satan told her to do that has any link to Satan. He only pointed her to her affections, the things she liked. Every temptation, let me show you a scripture very quickly. James chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. James chapter 1. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. What? Next verse now, quickly. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth what? Go back to verse 14. Let me emphasize the core of this discussion. He says every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust. There is nothing like it was Satan that made me fall. It is the lust in your heart that Satan created an opportunity for you. I know you will not finish that statement. A man who is nursing loss of sexual immorality, Satan has no business creating an occasion of other temptation. He will allow the factors to play out in a way that thing he has been desiring in his heart, the right environment has been created. So be who you are. Meanwhile, you are already that person in your heart already. It's just a matter of time. Hey! There's a difference between the temptation to sin and the opportunity to sin. And a lot of us that go about with a very high-minded disposition, claiming that we are cherubs and we are creatures of righteousness, there's a big chance that you just have not gotten the opportunity to sin. There's a difference between the temptation to sin and the opportunity to sin. Now, you don't know whether you are a thief yet until you have to sit in an office where with one signature you can change figures and swim billions into your account. Meanwhile, while you are away from that office, you can be pointing at people and saying, what kind of very weak Christians are these? That's why we need more spiritual people in places of authority. The moment they bring you there, then you too, you have been welcomed to an exceeding high mountain. Meanwhile, Satan is studying you from day one because there's a file on every man. In heaven, among celestial creatures, they have one name for him. They call him the accuser of the brethren. So he has something on everybody. If Satan wants to start your case now with God, it will start from 1992. Not from the offerings you did not give. And when he start reading the case and coming, the only bailout for you, because the list of your offense will be so numerous that when he's reading it, a time will come where the only thing is that they will now say, this person is dead in Christ. Forget this, you. At this level alone, I want somebody to quickly maximize the light God has brought for us at this level. Your one prayer is, Lord, check my heart. Any lust building up, waiting for the right atmosphere to find expression, Lord, kill it, uproot it, remove it from my heart. Atmosphere of expression, you are down. Lead us not into temptation. But if temptation must come, deliver us from all evil. You know why? The devil is not tempting you with anything you don't like. Your temptations are around the areas of your own loss. How do they know your own loss if they didn't study you? Familiar spirits have been deployed over time to measure out the areas of your obsession. So they know you. They know you! You see, on that day where you close the door, use a cutter to lock everywhere, the spirits that are getting feedback about your peculiar interest, they were there with you inside that room. They say, so these are the kind of things you like. That day where you compose that text message and you send to that damn self, a spirit read it before you sent it. They saw how vulnerable you were. They now say, okay, so now this kind of girl he like. Do you understand? That day where you were walking like this, as you're walking, like a colossus, then somebody passed. You now look here. Nobody was looking. You now did like this. A spirit saw, they said, did you see his neck? So now this time you like, so there's a constant file. They are developing your interest in the day that matter. When Satan come for you, you will know he studied you for long. He will not show up haphazardly. He will not show up without research. When he comes, you will know he knows me. This guy know me. There's a difference between the temptation to sin and the opportunity to sin. Because you can be sitting down here. I'll give a very popular example, but it's not in any way me endorsing the way of immorality. There are many people sitting here, and the first thing they glory in is in the arm of the flesh, and one of the things they glory in is that they thank God that they are not like all of these ladies living like a dog around. I've heard a lady make this statement, by the way. And I said, of all words, why did you choose dog to describe your fellow man? She said, can't you see how they are just living waywardly, sleeping around? And I said, are you a virgin? She said, yes. That's where the conversation was heading to, just to boast in that visit. So I now discovered that, you see, if the kind of person that you like have never asked you out, like never, your dream kind of man never showed up, you don't know whether you are standing or not. Meanwhile, if don't rejoice. Don't rejoice. If all the people showing up
Everybody showing up are people that are not your spec, not your kind of people. And you are using that strength to say, no, get behind me, Satan. Satan has not come for you. The day he will come, it is the lust of your heart that he will present. It is only on that day you can say you overcame Satan. Number two, there's a difference between overcoming temptation and escaping temptation. Spirits are not convinced that you have overcome if all you use was divine intervention too. Okay, as a brother, you arrange your room, change your bed sheets, F the room, on a Babylonic light inside, started playing some sounds that create the right atmosphere for the spirit of lust to ventilate. So the moment all these conditions are on ground, you now took your phone and call a damsel and say, come. When the lady was on her way coming to your house, then Jesus, also by his spirit, now stirred the heart of one brother in church and said, go and visit my son now. Now the lady, listen, the lady is in your house. She sat down. You are busy pretending like you are a cook, because all this thing is just to create an impression. While you are pretending that you are a cook, you now put the food together, that once you guys are eating together, you know, you will not be staring in her eyes. And before you know it, one thing will lead to another. While that brother was in the car heading towards your house, the devil created a traffic on the way, so that at least before he showed up, the merchandise of temptation must have prospered. Then Jesus made sure that Pastor Chris Oyakilome came on the TV briefly. When you now saw the advertised atmosphere for miracle, talk about the Holy Ghost, you changed the channel quickly, because there was something you needed as the environment. They only use that one to buy time before your salvation comes. Later, you now started looking at her eye in a very lustful way, and the whole room became quiet. You know, there are some brothers that are smiling because this is your life. Suddenly, before you cross that part of constraint, you heard a knock on the door. Your intervention has showed up. Who is there? You know, it's anger first. And I say, Abba, Brother John, where are you now? I beg, open the door, I beg. He now comes in and sat down between two of you. Then you are reminding him every 2 minutes. So, why did you say you came again? He said, I was just in the neighborhood. I said I should just check you. My sister, how are you doing? I hope you guys are rehearsing well for the Sunday meeting, because you know, there's a presence that we need you guys to carry. After a while, the lady will now get up and say, talk. I just came here just now. Let me be going. As she leaves, as sorrowful as your heart will be, later you will now say, I thank God I did not fall. You did not overcome temptation, you escaped. Because when you overcome a temptation, the affection, the affinity, the love for that thing has been dead in on your inside. So you can look at it and walk away. But the fact that it took intervention to make sure you do not fall, you have not overcome. You only escape. And a lot of us, all we are doing so far is to escape. God will find a way of escape for you, because your own heart has fallen. So if you are escaping, demons know that it's just a matter of time. We will catch you. But look at what Jesus says. He says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This is what he wants us to walk in, overcoming the world. A point where when you look at those things, it no longer have seductive power over you. That's where you overcame it. You know how God keeps many of us righteous? He denies us the things that can bring us down. You can be begging God for breakthrough, and when God, because he operates in an eternal realm, many people are saying, God, just try me and see. I tell you, I will be faithful with money. And God is saying, don't, I've tried you already, dear. That time you were asking God to try you, they added money to your celestial nature, and they found out that they found out that we don't need the physical you to see this thing. We have tested you already. Where matters, we saw that your walking step changed. Is trying to protect you from a fall, no matter what type of prayer you engage, that mercy is so much having affection for your soul that they will not allow you walk into anything that will destroy you. The Bible says the blessings of the Lord, they make it rich and added no sorrow. So if God sees that you don't have capacity to bear anything, it becomes that thing you are asking for that has a tendency to create sorrow around the narrative, you are not qualified for it. The challenge is not God giving. The challenge is men receiving. In fact, Jesus came to a point where he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. You cannot bear them. Have you looked at the phone of a friend before and you saw a content and you said they should send it to you? And then your phone now gave you a very serious message that memory space not sufficient. Eh? What they are telling you there is that although the person is willing to give you, the challenge is that you don't have capacity. This is Jesus' one challenge with man. He says, many things are yours, but you cannot bear them. Can you bear prosperity? Can you stand where mammon operates and not be corrupted? This is why it takes power to handle wealth. In Deuteronomy, he says, and thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. It takes power to stand where mammon is and not be corrupted. The first thing we press into is for capacity before you even ask. God must give you the capacity to handle the things you are asking for, or else it will destroy you. And if it can destroy you, God will not give it to you. If a man falls, he has only fallen to the lust that he has conceived in his own heart, his own lust. Now, the question I want to ask you, what condition do Satan needs to create in order to accurately predict your fall? For some of us, as we are speaking right now, if anything exposes you to a place where money is changing hand, God have lost you. The only way God still has you is that he restrains some level of financial flow your way, because there are many inherent tendencies waiting for the right environment to express themselves. And so this is what spiritual development and progress will be for your life. You will be exposing yourself to the protocol of transformation daily until those tendencies are deadened. Then you can step into the new. Well, you know what the average man does? He jumps from prayer house to prayer house, run from mountain to mountain, because he thinks it's about how to engage more anointing. He does not know that the challenge is the receiver, it's not the giver. God wants to give, but can you receive? If you have capacity, you can pray in your room and the heaven will be open, because the receiver is ready. Number two. The temptation of Jesus. The temptation of Jesus. Hi. I go there. Yeah, we have a little time. Colossians chapter 1 verse 27, very quickly. Colossians chapter 1 verse 27. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 27, the Bible said, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen. Remember the scripture I read to us? Romans chapter 3 verse 23. Huh? For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. So, the Bible is telling us that we sinned, and when we fell in Adam, every one of us became deficient of glory. This is what sin stole from us. Glory. When man ate the fruit, he found out that what he discovered was neither what Satan told him nor what God said to him. He found his own experience different. God says if you eat, you will die. Satan says if you eat, you will be wise. When man ate, he found out that he was naked. And the nakedness was neither what God said it will be death, nor what Satan says you will enter into a hub of wisdom. What he came into a knowledge of was that he is now naked. What What was his clothing? What was he wearing all this while? Glory was his clothing. He has lost something that defined his essence. Now he has been reduced to biological life. So he lives desiring exactly the things that other lower lives are desiring, trying to satisfy his urge per time. Meanwhile, before now, according to World Health Organization, the three basic needs of man is food, clothing, and shelter. Before now, none of those needs are Adam's needs. There was no house built in the Garden of Eden for him. His house was glory. The only person that is trying to live a bit after that order is a madman. All the rain that fell throughout last year fell on him. The mosquitoes all beat him. Every night they perched on him. He drank water from gutters and polluted sources. He ate his food from dung hills. Yet you are the one they admitted in the hospital, not him. Because there is a reality that protected and shielded him from all of this other fall. Because you now, you have been reduced and you are powered by common sense. That's why the slightest thing can bring you down. Just a demon is in a man, and that man can live above high. You say you carry the Holy Ghost. How comes we don't see the signs? He says, ye are gods. You know why? There was no house. Adam was living inside glory. There was no clothes. No clothing. Glory was his clothing. We lost that thing. And in God's own realm, if you lose glory, you are dead. Adam discovered that he was naked. And that nakedness became his challenge. So he quickly took fig leaves to cover. He did not know that the nakedness is a communication that you don't have right standing before God anymore. He took glory to stand naked and unashamed. You do remember what the Bible said in the last verse of Genesis chapter 2? That the man and his wife were both naked and unashamed. So nakedness was not because of fall. They have always been naked. The fall only took away the glory that was his essence. He understood himself in the lens of glory. I'm saying everything I'm saying to come to the point that the aim of temptation, the aim of Satan's temptation towards your life, is to remove the glory of God from your life. Sin is not for the sake of disobedience. Sin is to deprive you of glory. He says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Holy Ghost is the dimension of Christ in you. There are three dimensions of God that has manifested to the ages. We have had God for us, God with us, and God in us. The Holy Ghost is God in us. So your capacity to carry God is the Holy Ghost. Now, that age that can carry God, they are the ones that have glory, because it is Christ in you. That is the hope of glory. What exactly is Satan interested in? He is repeating the same test he brought to our ancestor Adam to deprive us of our glory. So the moment you entertain sin in your space, the moment you fall for temptation, what you transacted was your glory.
Blow like a mighty wind, Spirit of victory, cover us with your wings. Blow like a mighty wind, Spirit of victory, cover us with your wings.
Saturated with the Spirit of God, covered by glory.
The devil came, occasioned a fall, and made him lose his glory. The moment you lose your glory, Satan has no interest for you again. Because once you are reduced to this normal biological life, he knows you will be a victim of your natural biological desire. It will be easy for you to fall for anything. Because have you seen the way a dog lives? A goat is powered by hormonal secretions per time. If the hormones say, go and mate now, a goat will be restless until he obeys that hormone. This is how the law of sin governs people. There will be restlessness about a matter until you have obeyed that instruction of iniquity. This is the same way, and there's only one way to overcome this kind of power trying to dominate your soul. It is another spirit that will take hold of you from the inside and begin to live out the fruit of that spirit. Meanwhile, the moment Adam fell, Satan had no business camping around them anymore. He left them for a while. The moment the second and last Adam showed up, Satan was observing him. Never showed up. Never came for him. Until he went to the baptism service of John. And John immersed him into the water. Suddenly the heavens opened. The Holy Ghost once again descended upon a man. And suddenly the nature of a man is now turned into the same capacity that Adam fell from. One among the sons of men can now be called a son of God. And so a voice uttered from the throne eternal. It says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. The moment that voice was heard, Satan's attention came for one man. What he's looking for is the glory on your inside. Because the Holy Ghost is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He saw that a spirit mounted upon a man, and because of that spirit, Satan showed up. Guess what was the utterance of Satan? If you are the son of God. This is the preamble of the three temptations. If you are the son of God, turn this stone to bread. If you are the son of God, cast yourself down from the pinnacle. If you are the son of God. See, the idea around it is that the only thing God has said concerning your life is what Satan is fighting. Satan will not come and fight anything you call yourself except God partners with that utterance. So God called a man, my son. Satan's challenge is if you are the son of God. I'm trying to tell somebody that something around your life Satan is fighting is the verdict of God for your life. He followed him because one upon whom the glory of God has rested, they now see one walking in glory. And Satan cannot have you carry God in you. The moment you lose that glory essence, he can leave you. Live for 100 years is not a challenge. The totality of your expression is factored around selfish and self-centered living. So as far as that's how you live, your life does not strike a chord. Those who are candidates of glory, people who are carriers of the eternal God, the moment God becomes domiciled on your inside, Satan looks for you because he wants to make sure you lose that glory you carry. This is the reason for temptation. He came to him and said, if you are the son of God, turn these stones into bread. Meanwhile, Jesus has fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and the Bible says he was hungry. You see, I told you, temptations will be built around the area of your need. It will not be something you don't desire. He knows Jesus was hungry. See what he said? Turn these stones into bread. See, Jesus' reply to him is, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What was Satan telling Jesus to do? The moment you receive glory, the moment you take hold of the powers of God, the moment the Holy Ghost becomes domiciled on your inside, the moment you have access to the powers of the age to come, the first thing Satan will tempt you to do is to use that capacity, that ability, that anointing, that power to serve your own personal need. This is where all kinds of bastardization of the holy altars of God, this is where it came from. Turn this stone into bread.
people with very good intention started genuinely loving God, Satan will come presenting that temptation. Turn this stone into bread. So the moment you receive glory, the capacity to communicate God, Satan wants to have the capacity to get certain harvest from that glory. So he wants you to use the glory for your own selfish interest. Meanwhile, we're not talking about stones. We're not talking about rocks. Stone is a metaphor there. And on several occasions, the Bible have used that same metaphor to address man. In Psalm 118 verse 22, the Bible says, the stones which the builders have rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And when they talk about stone there, they're talking about men. That the stone which the builders rejected is a metaphor. When Satan is telling Jesus, turn this stone into bread. Meanwhile, if Satan and Jesus is talking, which language do you think they'll be speaking? Amen. Just imagine in the days when the sons of God were gathered in Job chapter 1. And the Bible says Satan was in their midst. And God asked Job, which language do you think God and Satan were speaking? English. He says, turn these stones into bread. It was what he was telling Jesus to do is to deploy spiritual resources to serve his self-seeking need. Minister to yourself first. Jesus says it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Bible told us that the victory of Jesus was built around his knowledge of the word. The next temptation was the devil took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple. Look at what the devil was doing. The first thing you pick from the first temptation was that there is a state that temptation needs to thrive. Jesus was hungry. The second, there is a location temptation needs to thrive. It took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple. The pinnacle of the temple is to build his spiritual consciousness, to make him so conscious of spirituality. Then there was an utterance that followed. If you are the Son of God, this is where the pride of life is stretched to its capacity. He says, prove that you are the Son of God. Throw yourself down. I want to share something very quickly with this point. There are many people here. God has occasioned deliverance for you. You were struggling with something that had power over your soul for a while. And then you had the opportunity to interact with the power of God. And the power of God created an occasion for deliverance. Now, the moment deliverance is secured for you, it is your responsibility to guard your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, that capacity to guide it is where many people fall from. Because the moment they become free, maybe a drunk or a person who is chained to fornication, that has been walking in fornication non-stop and a spirit kept him glued, the moment God intervenes and ventilation comes to his soul and he is free, see what Satan does? He showed up and says, ha! Oh no. So all this while that you are just fornicating, you have been pretending. So all this while you can be free anytime you want to be free, and you are just pretending like you are a prisoner. Then Onu will start smiling. You know what he's doing? He is trying to massage his ego. He wants him to believe that you can jump down. It is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. He's trying to tell you that there is a supply, there is a resource in the kingdom that is able to make up for a mistake that you made consciously. Why should I cast myself down? Who pushed me? Nobody. I should jump down by myself. He's telling you to put yourself in arm's way. Behold, there are resources in kingdom to cover for your safety. This is why he tells him, you know you can be free anytime. You can just fornicate one more time, just one time. Why you fornicate this last time? This is the last fornication. Then you will now fast and reconnect back. And from there, you will never sin again. He's telling you to cast yourself down. Because this one is not the pull, it's not the grip that forced you. It is just a desire for pleasure. You are the one. Although there was no ruling influence over your soul, you were the one that put yourself in harm's way. And the devil seduced you by telling you there are resources in the kingdom that will help you. Remember. It is written. He is good and his mercy is forever. And you will now say, it's true. It's true. It's true. In fact, And another scripture says it is of his message that we are not even consumed. The devil now say, you see, of course, you know this thing. It's not a hard thing. The moment you fall, the grip, the bondage that has been reserved, your brief escape taught Satan that freedom is a possibility. So the new realm of captivity they have arranged for you, they are just waiting for the day you will visit again. Normally, the prison had one door. Now they made 3 doors. So that before you be delivered again, it will take time. This is why the end state of a man who was delivered from darkness and went back into iniquity, his end state is worse than where he was delivered from. Because the spirits that be, they occasion all kinds of systems to make sure deliverance will be far from your borders. You can't sin willfully. You cannot sin willfully as a Christian. Now, am I saying you cannot sin? Yes, it's a stand in God. But if you sin, let it be unknowingly. Let it be a mistake. Let it be that the factors were not in your control. And run back to God quickly. But the moment your heart entertains a posture of sin, you have exposed yourself to captivity. Throw yourself down. I'm speaking to brothers here who can hear me. I'm speaking to sisters. Some of you, the whisper of the serpent is that, guy, imagine, you have gone for so many years. Body not be firewood now. You have gone for many years. Look at how every other person is doing it. Imagine, do you even think the guy will propose to you if you don't sleep with him? How will he know you truly love him? The devil is telling you to cast yourself down. This is where I will spend the next 10 minutes. Then we pray. The devil taketh him to an exceeding high mountain. This is what all the preamble was about. It is like an excursion. The devil taketh, Jesus followed. The devil led the way, Jesus followed. Because that temptation cannot prosper until we arrive at that location. There's a location that hosts the temptation. The moment Jesus was there, he found out that there was a capacity to see the glory of the world, the riches of the various dynasties. Everything became real. And not only the picture, the feeling of the interest for it, the yearning for it, was activated in it. So let me show you from the first temptation before we finally conclude. The first temptation, turn this stone into bread. According to John, in 1 John chapter 2, 15 and 16. Turn this stone into bread is the lust of the flesh. The second temptation, if you are the Son of God, what? Cast yourself from this. Behold, it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. What temptation was that? The pride of life. The third temptation, he showed him all the glory of the world and the riches. What temptation was that? The lust of the eyes. You too, you will not escape it. It came for Eve like this. It came for Jesus like this. You too, they will test you on the lust of the flesh. They will test you on the lust of the eyes. They will test you on the pride of life. The way to overcome the lust of the eyes is to regulate the atmosphere you entertain. You cannot be everywhere. There are places if you don't go to, the way of life associated with those places cannot affect you. And so, the pride of life, hey, are we together? If you have been following me, what I've been trying to say is to show you some factors that all temptations are built upon. For that particular flavor of temptation called the lust of the eyes, it requires a location. If you don't see it, can the lust of the eye enter? You cannot enter. So, and there are companies you should not keep. There are friendships that you can never be. There are people that can never be your friend. The moment they are in your life, they are already the window of that aspect of them. The moment you can set a principle, a system around your life to checkmate this thing, you have canceled one type of temptation from your life already. There are places you will not see me. There are friends I will never keep. No matter how much they are friendly, there are associations. What relationship has light and darkness? Somebody say, it's just a birthday party. I don't have any business there. The time came, when they look for me, they didn't find me in the right environment that can catch me. They now gave me a name forged out of mockery so that it would provoke me to want to prove a point. That capacity to prove a point is the pride of life. The devil knows what he wants to do with you. His plan is, he will now say, you are a Jew guy. A Jew guy, I agree. You see, this thing that they say, no agree. Agree, oh. See, they say, all this holy. A time came, they started calling me pastor. They thought that I would be offended. They don't know I like it. You know, there's something about... There's something about name. Let me give you one expo quickly. If you don't like a name, don't show the people that you don't like it. As they give you that name, they'll just call it. They'll be looking at your face to see if you are angry. That name, it will stick. Because what they need is a name that can get a reaction from you. If they call you a name, you now rejoice and you are happy. They will be offended. No. I treated one infirmity in my class that year. Then something was raining. They call it shegenchi. You just see two FCS brother. One will say, senior man. The other one will say, prophet of the Most High God. The other one will say, our daddy in the Lord. So they will not be hailing themselves back to back. As they are hailing, they are bending down until they will now lie down, two of them. Still exchanging titles. So the person who can give the highest has won the other person. I say, what is this? So I'll be passing some time. They'll say, daddy Gio. Me, I know what they want. They want me to throw something back to them. When you throw, I will say, God bless you. Oh boy, the people will be angry. Like, what kind of... So if they leave you now, you are our G.O. I'm not the one that called myself. Somebody just saw you. You are walking on your own. Does not know you. He knows it is. It's a trick. The idea is an ancient warfare. Many people did not know. Somebody saw you and say, senior man. What the devil wants is that you will now belittle yourself with your own word. And I say, who be senior man for where will I be? Never. I will never talk down on myself. I will never use my mouth to reduce myself. The moment you say senior man, I'll say, oh boy, how far? You will be so angry. Somebody say, now will I be the man? Yes, we are. The moment they send it, change your walking step. What they are waiting for, listen, what they are waiting for is for you to now say something derogatory with your mouth. So that you will now say, if I hear, who are we, where you guys are? No, for what? I will never talk down on myself. Never. Our generation was not prepared. Devices of the enemy that buffeted us. The devil walked around the clock to expose us to realities that our soul cannot handle. You can sit on your bed now and vanities can bombard your soul just with your mobile phone. You can sit on your bed and with your mobile phone, you can have a glimpse at the vanities of the world. The riches. Sometimes when I see people who spend a bulk of time on Instagram, I know that it won't be long, they will become depressed people. It does not is a scheme. And unfortunately, this is where many people go and end their day. Every night they will go to that place and start zooming, checking. And the vain thoughts, vain imaginations, the cares of this life, they begin to look at different people who are victims of that narrative. So the average young man is under pressure to make a point that he too is not failing. So the moment he enters anywhere that looks very nice, so clean, so neat, touche, he has an innate desire to snap and capture that face. So people snap with cars, they don't know the owner. They just saw a nice looking car, something says snap now. You now snap, you now carry it and join the narrative
upload it and say,
"Oh, my beginning be small." Somebody here after this meeting, the next time that tendency tries to rise on you, like, tell yourself, calm down, calm down. The first day I entered an aircraft, that was some years back. We used to travel by road then for our ministrations. Jesus now helped us and increased our honor. So people started inviting us and booking our flights. So the first time I entered an aircraft, something says, snap now. You better capture yourself in an airplane. You are appropriate. Hey, and I removed the phone. As I did like this, the Holy Ghost said, don't. You either snap this once and you continue to look at the picture as the only time you entered an aircraft, or allow me lead you and it will become your normal life. So I overcame the temptation to snap. I held the phone like this. My hand was shaking. I already knew the kind of thing I want to write under that picture. While I was contemplating on that, I now saw people like me. That was their one opportunity. I saw them snapping. They would do like me. Guess what? From that meeting to you today, nobody has booked a meeting for us. Meanwhile, we have meetings almost every week. Nobody has booked a meeting for us that didn't book flight for us. It has become a norm. The moment the devil gives you that idea that just try, you better capture this moment. So people are trying to prove a point. And a majority of the things you are looking at and it's making you feel worried, like your life is not making progress, is just fake life. A majority is fake life. From a fake depiction of happy homes, to fake communication of wealth, to fake communication of well-being. Go and check the pictures people are uploading, whether it is a true reflection of their real visage. Somebody carries all kinds of editing apps, edited everything, shifted everything, now put it, you now went and saw it, you zoomed it, you say, God has blessed some people. You don't know that this whole thing is an exceeding high mountain. The reason is to bring you to a point where you become conscious of so much vanity. Then a suggestion becomes the product of that. This is where many ladies bow there too. You know what happens? You stay like this. You are watching the picture from page to page, looking at the various accounts of the people you perceive are your mates from primary school to secondary school. This one snapped before a Jeep. This one snapped before a very nice house. This one was on vacation. And you are looking. Then the devil says, look at yourself. On the strength of this, he says, all this will I give to you if you will bow. This is where many ladies fail. This is where many young men sacrifice their destiny. Why do you think Yahoo have arrested the average youth? It's because of this exceeding high mountain. There is a vanity it ministers to the soul. It is too strong a grip that you can be looking like this. You don't know yet that you are falling, because the power of that temptation is sight. Sight. There's only one way around these things. It's your heart. That's what you're going to guard. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. As I'm standing before you here, God is my witness. I know how temptations work. The first thing Satan wants is to build a pressure. That pressure, it will be ministered from the things you have fraternized with on the sight capacity of the exceeding high mountain. The moment you allow the things of this world to buffet your soul, the next thing that follows it is a suggestion. There is a sense of underachievement that comes into your heart. You begin to feel like you are not doing well. Meanwhile, godliness with contentment is great gain. Number of young men with high blood pressure I'm praying for currently, you don't want to know it. It used to be an issue for old people before, but now the pressure, they have fraternized with the exceeding high mountain. There are people, even after you leave this meeting, there is a depression that you are battling with for some time now, and the reason for that depression is because of the way you are interpreting your life based on the things you are seeing around you, saying that you don't seem to be making much progress. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. I didn't know the extent to which Satan needs this system to be impeccably, you know, tight, until I saw in first hand. The other day I was in my car, and two ladies, because my glass is tinted, they didn't know I was inside my car. I just parked to make a call. Two ladies came, they don't know me from anywhere. They don't even know the owner of the car. They came and held the handle of the car as though they want to, you know, the way you hold it like you want to open the door of your car. So they held that place, and I was looking in amazement. Then they were snapping themselves. So I knew that this one now, they will go and cause pressure for another innocent somebody somewhere and say, small girl with big God. Fake life. Fake life up and down. Fake life everywhere. Do you know the owner of the car? No. Somebody misled. We now say, no, be Stacy be this. It has started. It has started. Then the Stacy, when they now try to chat her up and say, wait, is it your car? She will now say, they play. Fake life. Can I share something with you? Sister, brother, you are not failing. You are not failing. Believe me, you are not failing. You have no idea the platforms, the hits. You have no idea the battles many people are coping with. And they want to put a happy face just to make an impression. The quest to make an impression is one of the greatest needs I've seen in this generation. You can be suffering, but you don't want people to see that version of you. So let them believe that everything is perfect. And everybody is trying to sell a perfect version of themselves, including you sitting here. That picture that is on your DP. Let's say the truth. Is that the picture of the normal you? It was that by probabilities, the light reflected in the right manner, they caught a good angle of you. So when you look at that picture, plus the modification that was done, you now put that there, and under it you write, to God be the glory. Calm down. Listen, you are not failing. You hear me? You are not failing. Can I pray for somebody? Your seasons are about to shift. Your life is about to experience a turnaround. The things I share with you, I share it with a confidence, because everything I have spoken about is the word of God. And this word has the capacity to bring performance. That's the only thing Jacob took from the house. He didn't carry any land documents. He didn't carry any sheep. He didn't carry any goat. He didn't carry any horse. No donkey. He left home only with the words of his father. And Esau was crying that they have cheated him. Meanwhile, it was Esau that stayed at home and inherited all the land, all the material things. But Esau was crying because they know what true blessing is. Blessing is not these things. Blessing is the words of God that can prosper over your life. And these are the same words that by the Holy Ghost I will be declaring over us tonight. You are here and you have put your hands working hard. You wake up early, sleep late at night, only to eat the bread of sorrow. By the power of the Holy Ghost, by the anointing that breaks the yoke, I declare, let the works of your hand begin to prosper in the name of Jesus Christ. You are here, and men don't bless you. No room for you anywhere you go. People are not willing to make openings for you. I declare, let the favor of the Lord, the oil of gladness, let the favor of the Lord rest upon you now in the name of Jesus Christ. He says, thou anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. That anointing that has capacity to affect overflows, to create overflows. That anointing that can regulate the substance in your cup. Let that oil come upon you now in the name of Jesus. Now I speak to everybody here who have been victims of one stronghold or another, one wicked scheme or another. I speak to people who are held bound by sin, by tendencies, appetites, and proclivities. By the power of the Holy Ghost, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I declare now, you are set free in the name of Jesus Christ. Every addiction, every stronghold, everything that continues to undermine your quest for spiritual consistency, I command the grip of iniquity be broken now in the name of Jesus. Everybody here, that strange spirits have been deployed to make sure you don't hit spiritual consistency. That any time you begin to make some progress, a lot of attacks spiritually will come and make sure you fall again. I declare that ungodly cycle over your life is terminated now in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody under the sound of my voice, you go for some weeks standing in purity. Then a strange entity comes to your dream and sleeps with you. And from that time, you enter a season of fall again. Now by the power of the Holy Ghost, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I cut off every link, every connection, every access point. It is scattered now in the name of Jesus Christ. Take 1 minute wherever you are. Your prayer is, Lord, let no iniquity have dominion over me. Let no sin have power over me. You want to prevail? Pray. Don't understand this prayer yet. I have yet many things that are yours, but you cannot bear them yet. No capacity. What are these installations that deprive us of capacity? You are going to pray. Everything that is occasioned to take my glory from me, to take my capacity from me, as I pray, I uproot the installations of darkness.
Oh,
my steps in thy word. Order my steps in thy word. And let no iniquity have dominion over me. Psalm 119 verse 133. Let no iniquity have dominion over me. Let no iniquity have dominion over me. This is your prayer. Amen. Amen. Listen. Listen. As you leave, at the course of the week, on Tuesday again, we're on the mountain of encounters. God has given us these platforms to keep us fiery all the time. See, this is your meditation as you go into the week. Psalm 119 verse 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. There are many things mastering the souls of men. Many people are victims of appetites. The things I want to do, I don't see myself. See, let no iniquity have dominion over me. Let no iniquity. The moment that thing crosses your heart, you blast in the Holy Ghost for 5 minutes again. I will not be wasted. I will not fall. I will not be a victim of sin. Let no iniquity have dominion over me. The reason behind the things we share tonight, I will tell you why. Apart from the fact that capacity is a challenge with receiving from God, the Bible says the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, although he is Lord of all. What makes a person a child in kingdom context? The Bible says children obey. If you cannot obey God, you cannot graduate from being a child into adulthood. Obedience is the proof of sonship. If you cannot obey, you are still infantile. No matter what your physical age is, if obedience is not factored into your nature, you can't touch your inheritance. Until you obey, then everything that is yours, you can touch it. You are the heir of salvation. But you cannot touch the bounties of salvation, because we are still rising and falling, rising and falling, rising and falling. Obedience is not factored into our nature. God knows he cannot trust you with wealth, because mammon will master you. The moment you become stable, there is nothing God cannot give you. See what the scripture says. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it has not entered into the hearts of men the things God has reserved for those who love him. Who are those that love him? He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. It is the proof of love is obedience. You see, this week, be brutal. If the devil whisper anything, order myself in your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. I walk in freedom. Nothing will rule me. I walk in freedom. Some of you are about to taste freedom for the first time in a long while. You have been a prisoner for too long. Your life did not end as a prisoner. From today, the Spirit of God has occasioned your deliverance. Now, it is your responsibility to guard your salvation with fear and trembling. You can work it out. Work it out. Put principles, put systems around your life. Places you should never go to. Sites you should never entertain. Conversations you should not indulge. Temptations are predictable. You can see it coming before it comes. You can feel temptation at atmosphere level. You will never struggle with any suggestion.
Spirit leads me when my trust is without borders. Me walk wherever
take me
deeper. And wonders. Can I share something with you? None of your seed will wander out of the way of the Lord. They are all implicated on this altar. The God you have served, the God you have honored, May that God arrest your seed on time. I speak into families with one tendency, one proclivity, one bloodline related matter, one ungodly pattern finding expression. I disconnect you from anything that does not define God's expectation for your life. We are called out of every tribe, every tongue. We are called out, separated from any power that is working contrary to the progress of the members of the family. You step out today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Congratulations to everybody who have made it for service. Amen. Amen. By the grace of God, good news. Listen, listen. You see, see. If I say good news, you will start doing woo. The reason is, you think I want to say marriage. Well, Zaria Solemn Assembly is here. God, thank you. God has given us a mandate to take the revival fire across regions, across locations, and across localities. And so by the grace of God, we are storming ABU Zaria, Blue Roof Hall to be specific, on the 22nd and 23rd of March. Jesus will be revealed and Jesus will be glorified in that space. It promises to be a revival platform. A lot of souls will pour into the kingdom and the Holy Ghost will overpower many and we will not be few. And so by the grace of God, the workers that will be part of the people who will labor with us in that mission field, subsequent information will be made available, and then the team that will join us in the field, we will be traveling, I think, on the 21st. Some of us will go on time to make sure everything is set. Some of us will also go on the 22nd and 23rd, which happens to be Friday and Saturday of March. It promises to be such a marvelous one. Everybody following us from Zaria and its environs, please make out time, clear your schedules and make out time to prepare for that conference. It promises to be an amazing one. The WhatsApp group that is made for the workers and people who want to join the workforce for that conference, it will be open again this evening. Please do well to join the group. And subsequently, we will send some leaders to have workers training with us before the conference. Solemn Assembly Zaria is already here. The billboards will go up around Zaria, and the flex will be around your various campuses. You will see it, and subsequent details will be captured on those billboards. God bless you as you prepare to come. By the grace of God, also on Tuesday is Congress. It's our healing and communion service. It hosts every Tuesday at Habikut Hall, number 48 and 49 Chiroma Street, and Gwanyelwa Television, Kaduna. By the grace of God, also on the 16th, being Friday of February 2024, is our Brothers and Sisters Fellowship. Promises to be such a marvelous time of interpersonal connection, and it gives us also the opportunity to share the peculiar areas of our challenges and how God has helped us thus far. Bless you. God increase you. I love you all. Thank you so much for coming.
Amena ujana mukatu yo, avina mujatu manocho yo, avina mujanu ngago. Everything else can wait. Give me your all. I hope I'm not too late. Oh, give me your all. Everything else can wait. Give me your all. I hope I'm not too late.